prayer for them. Praise God. Praise God. I'm Dennis Williams, one of the elders, and I'm going to be speaking tonight, but, before I start talking about that, we've got a special occasion this morning. We had a little announcement we did last week at the end of church service, wasn't live streamed, and a question came up, how do I become a member? And I blurted out, I said,
Too much power.
and I answered the question. The main thing is having an interview with an elder and telling us your faith story. We want you to be a Christian, someone who has received Christ as Savior. What I did not do, because I was...
Try that. Helps to be plugged in, but now I'm echoing. So those of you online, we had a question come up last week, how do I become a member? And the short answer was, we want to hear your faith story so that we know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Have an interview for we can verify that. And then we ask you to kind of pledge yourself to our congregation with service, with your gifts, with your talents. But I forgot to mention that part of that is with understanding that we have our statement of faith in the opening of the bulletin, and so that you look at that and you say, oh, yeah, I get it. I'm with you. I'm on the same page. I agree with that. If you have questions or you want clarification, we'd love to do that before, which I kind of skipped that with Mr. Ben. And come on up, Ben. Ben Fite, after the talk, that announcement thing we did last week, he said, all right, I want to be a member. He told me a long time ago that he wanted to be a member, and I intimidated him, I think. I think I made it sound like we're going to have some sort of inquisition instead of just an interval. Talk, tell me your faith story. So anyway, we got it straightened out. I talked with Ben right down here in the aisle last week. I said, tell me your faith story. He said, well, yeah. And he told me the story. So, hey, it's cool. And you remember about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, Ben got baptized. We have the opportunity of baptizing Ben. Very, very cool stuff. He's been a believer for a long time, but he came to the conviction he wanted to get baptized. So I'm going to pray with Ben, and I'm going to do something a little bit different we've never done. Karen brought that up this morning. This is the certificate of baptism, not baptism, membership. Certificate of membership. And I signed it on the front, and I underlined elder, not pastor. The back is for Ben to sign, and we're going to wait and let him sign it right up front after I pray with him. Let's do that first. I'll pray. Lord, thank you for Ben. Thank you for his willingness to serve and make a commitment to a body of believers here on earth. And I just thank you that his commitment to you was first and foremost, but that he has come to want to plug in more completely here with this body of believers. I thank you for that, for his service, for his faith, for his encouragement in Jesus' name. If you who are out there want to join me in welcoming him as a member, please signify by standing.
That's cool.
It is cool. That is cool. And now, Ben, would you sign this?
I surely will.
All right. All right. Ah, no. Thank you, Ben. Love you, too. Wow, isn't that cool? That's cool. And so that's an example, folks. Hey, how do you do that? Well, the first step, look at that bulletin. Look at that statements of faith. And that is a reminder, again, what we are talking about in this sermon series. The points that are listed in that of our statement of belief, of our congregation, our church, this is what we believe. And so today, I'm talking on point number 7. And the title is Believe and Be Baptized. You could Oh, this screen's not on. Well, there we go. Believe it. Next slide, please. Those who repent and believe should be baptized with water in obedience to the scriptures, thereby identifying with Christ in his death and resurrection. And then it's hard to see on that slide. It's in your bulletin as well. Under the title Repentance and Baptism, there are 6 scripture references, and we're going to have those on the screen in a minute. And then a question, why should I be baptized? That's got 2 scripture references. What does baptism signify? Again, 2 references. And how many baptisms are there with 1 reference? Okay. So the first one, Matthew chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, under the heading Repentance and Baptism. The axe is already at the root of the tree. I got to preface this. I got to back it up. This is John the Baptist speaking, okay? John the Baptist, and he's at the other side of the Jordan near the town of Bethany. That's where he started baptizing. So the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I'm going to turn this fan on. Whew, I am warm. I saw a news article this week about the country of Jordan getting ready for the 2030 anniversary of Jesus getting baptized in the River Jordan. That's kind of sweet. And there's UNESCO, which is the, well, I got to look at my notes here, United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. They have like a 1,300-acre area that includes 5 separate archaeological sites that they're kind of monitoring and make sure it's safe and all that sort of stuff and protect these archaeological sites. And that is at that site, the Bethany beyond or on the other side of the Jordan. And today that town is called Almagus. Almagus. Never been there, but I thought that was kind of cool. It was in this week's news. Hey, they're getting ready for that anniversary of Jesus' baptism, which was going to happen right there. That when John is referencing that, it didn't happen yet at that point. We think about baptism. Was that a new thing? Had the Jews been doing baptisms before John the Baptist came around? It was kind of a new thing. He was kind of doing it on a wider scale and saying, hey, folks, come out, repent. Let's turn over a new leaf. Let's get right with God. And people were coming to him like crazy, right? He had big crowds of people coming. It's kind of the latter part of Jewish history before Christ came. There was a kind of change in how they viewed ritual washing. If you look in the Old Testament in Leviticus and those things, the priests were admonished to, before you go into the Holy of Holies, you wash your feet, you wash your hands. It was a ceremonial washing. You do this stuff, and so they made provisions for it. Later on, they got the idea that, hey, we should all get really dunked in the water. So they would have, what's the term here? Boy, I'm like you guys, I should have put my glasses on. I got them right here. But they would provide a ritual washing, and they made kind of like we have a baptismal thing up there under those chairs. It's in the concrete and stuff, and you'd fill it with water. So in the winter months, We can do a baptism right up there. Well, they had those outside the temple area, and they're called mizkeh. And they were designed just for that, to go in and be under, get under the water and come out ritually clean. They typically would have a set of stairs at one end. You went down as someone who needed to repent, and they had stairs at the other end. Oh, come out all clean. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And they had they had six ways that they thought it was okay to get this mizkeh. And mizkeh comes from two words, tivka and kav, which in the long means waiting for God. That ceremony, that ritual washing, is I'm going to align with God. I'm waiting. I'm hopeful. And that's kind of what they were talking about there. And so that if you had these mikvah, they were 80 gallons or more. If you had less than 80 gallons, and maybe it wasn't in a thing specifically designed for that, maybe you were a little ditch that had water in it, and you wanted to do that, that's like the lowest level of participation in this. Okay, it'll do, but it's the least you could do. And so then from there, they would go up, well, this body of water is refreshed by rainwater. It's not just stagnant water. That's kind of the next level. Oh, that's cool. And then they had these, the mikvah, the ones that are built for that. And then they had fountains. Oh, the water's moving. Fountain. And rivers and lakes were the number one. The number one. And they called those living waters. Oh, doesn't that sound familiar? Living waters. You get cleansed in the living waters. And I thought, boy, that is a lot of imagery that goes on there. Well, when a new believer, after this, again, I'm condensing the time. So after the Old Testament was written, there's quite a long span of time before John the Baptist and Jesus arrive on the scene. Somewhere in that span of time, they started adapting the idea of a ritual washing, maybe mostly your hands and feet, to a total get under the water with the mikvah. And they also did this with new believers. Do you think of Judaism as being, oh yeah, they were evangelical, they were preaching the gospel? Not exactly, but yes, they did. They had people who would come from another country or another place, and maybe I was a merchant doing business in Israel, and decided, man, I like what you guys are doing. I want to be a Jew. So what would they do? Well, they would have a pretty extensive interview or interrogation, the wording I saw read, and then if it's a guy, he's got to get circumcised. Ouch. And 7 days after he was circumcised, a little time to heal up, then they would take him and baptize him naked. And wow, like God created me, kind of, you know. That is pretty intimidating. Times have changed. Whew. But that was what they would do. So it was not uncommon, not unheard of, not totally foreign for the Jews to have this idea of getting baptized. Well, let's read this next passage, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And you'll recall this is the very end of Jesus' time on earth, the very end of the book of Matthew. And this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Pretty familiar passage, I think, to a lot of us, to most of us. I'm going to read this next passage, Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 41. Peter replied, this is the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost. We talked about this close to the time of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Jesus died. Easter, what's the other one? Passover. Thank you, Passover. So that's what the occasion this is being spoken. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message, his message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Also, the book of Acts, we'll read this next one, about the Ethiopian eunuch. And if you recall, the eunuch was reading from the passage in Isaiah, and the Spirit of God spoke to Philip, say, hey, go up beside this chariot and listen and then talk to this guy. So that's the setting. And the eunuch said to Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Peter began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. A lot of different occasions and kind of a lot of different contexts. And we have a lot of different ideas about baptism within the Christian church as well. I'm going to read another one. Romans 6, verses 2 through 11. And I'm going to start reading Romans 6, verse 1 through 11, because it kind of starts in the middle. It doesn't make a lot of sense. This part of Romans, he's saying, hey, you've been saved by grace. Grace covers all the mistakes and the sins you do. Isn't that cool? And chapter 6 starts out, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Hey, we got it covered, so let's just party, right? And the scripture says, by no means, verse 2. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in this, like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified him so that the body of sin might be done away with, as we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no mastery, no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. I got baptized with my wife in 1979, and I've told you this story before. We got saved in premarital counseling. It was a big rush deal because Nancy, my sister-in-law, and other family members were going to be in town. We didn't have much time, so we got saved, in premarital counseling with Ed over there in the old church building, and he said, now you need to get baptized. Cool, I'm into that. Let's get baptized. We were pretty ignorant. My wife and I both. Maybe her more than I, because I had more Christian exposure than she had. But so we went to Al and Kathy Hammond's house, up closer to Cross, north of Cross Village, and I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, we were supposed to meet Nancy and her family at the airport that afternoon. I believe it was a Saturday. And so we go up there, and there's a crowd of people, and they're all excited, and we sang some songs beforehand. And, well, let's go down to the lake. Okay. I'm just dressed kind of normal. Went down to the lake. Let's get out in the water. Oh, okay. I'm thinking maybe a little pouring on the head or some sprinkling. Or no, we're going to go out in the lake all the way in. So, okay, went out there, and, you know, Ed lays you down like, you know, the imagery I think is really cool. That last passage we read in Romans about dying to sin and being raised to life, that is a really good metaphor. So he laid us down and brought us up out of the water. Wow, that was cool. We both came out and people are hugging us. We're all sopping wet and they're wiping us with towels. And then we're thinking, after kind of things cleared up, we got to go to the airport. We're soaking wet. We don't have a change of clothes. There was a secondhand store in Cross Village. We both went up there and we bought a change of clothes because we had to hurry and get to the airport. But that was kind of our experience with baptism. And I don't know what your experience with baptism is, but it's pretty common to, well, first of all, there's generally three ways Christians are baptized, right? The one I just mentioned, immersion, when you're totally in the water, you come back out. Pouring, or sprinkling, which is called effusion, and that's very common as well. And immersion talks about death and burial of Christ. The sprinkling or the pouring, you think of the Old Testament when the priest is at the temple and made sacrifices and he sprinkled the blood on the people, or your other passages that talk about the Holy Spirit is poured out. Those are all ways you can illustrate what's going on in baptism. But a lot of people, I, and maybe many of you, were baptized as infants. What is that about? What is that about? Well, the idea of baptism was correlating with circumcision, and I don't see it myself. I just don't see it directly in Scripture. There is inference; it could be implied, because there are examples of whole households being baptized. The Lydia in Philippi, Crispus, the jailer in Philippi, Cornelius. So these are all people where they came together, and the main person that the apostles or Paul or whoever are talking to, that's the person who gets saved. But the rest of the household, it implies they got saved too, and they got baptized. The whole group was baptized. So that's kind of one of the things that goes on, that a lot of churches increasingly baptize infants. We do a dedication is our practice here. Very similar meaning in that this baby is now a part of our congregation. We as members are going to participate in the rearing of this child. You're part of our number. You're part of our congregation, in effect. And so that's kind of, and that's a lot of what I've heard people say they mean when they say an infant baptism. That's kind of, you're included in our number. You're part of our body here. But I'm gonna dodge the rest of any other implications on that, because it can be a hot button issue for people. But most Christians, as far as I know, all Christians believe in, when you do become a believer as an adult or as an old enough person to really be aware of it, that's a fine time to get baptized. If you're a new believer, was never a church attender, you come to Christ, that is a fine time to get baptized, okay, in response to that. We'll switch to this next heading, repentance and baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. No, I'm on the wrong one. I'm sorry. I got my pages all stirred up here. Like, I'm all stirred up. Where did I leave off? Okay, here it. Why should I be baptized? We're going to read Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. Again, this is another retelling of that other part that we already read of Matthew. This is in Mark. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned." That's one of the passages that some Christians believe that you are saved through baptism. And you can get that from that passage, can't you? You can see that you are saved through baptism. There are other scriptures. I mentioned Cornelius, that occasion in Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius and a big group of people got baptized. They were Gentiles, and Peter, with some other of the believing Jews, went to their house, which was kind of a no-no as a Jew, and preached the gospel, and they said the people responded with speaking in tongues, and they said, "The Holy Spirit is poured out on them already. Why can't they be baptized? Hey, let's do it." So that's more our perception here at Stutzmanville. We believe that when you receive Christ as Savior, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart and life. And then in response, hey, dunk me, or sprinkle, or pour. There are three reasons to be baptized. This is some of my reading I did. Number one, Christ commanded it, right? Okay, in obedience, I'm going to get baptized. Number two, it represents our own death, burial, and resurrection as we identify with Christ, as we acknowledge his death, burial, and resurrection. We're identifying with that. And it also is a way we identify with the greater body of Christ. I'm in community with other believers. I'm part of you guys. What does baptism signify? Maybe that's part of that answer. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Again, that's that Pentecost occasion. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. This is the occasion of the apostle Paul, who at this point is Saul. If you recall that story, he's Saul, he persecutes Christians, and then he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. And this is the occasion where he is confronted, and his eyes are opened again. Remember, he had the scales on his eyes. He was blinded for a time. He regained his sight. And this is what it says, Acts 22:16. "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." And that's, again, where we come up with the believer's baptism is what we practice. The idea of baptism for us is directly connected with believing. It's the next step. You believe, receive the Holy Spirit, and you respond with getting baptized. Colossians 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That next section, it's only one verse, it's Ephesians 4 to 5. It says, how many baptisms are there? And Ephesians 4, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Does that surprise you? Kind of surprises me. I look in Scripture, one baptism. Because you look in Scripture, I was looking up some other references, you know, other things. And one reference said there were seven baptisms in Scripture, types or references. I found a couple more, actually. The first one is in, that I'm referencing, is in 1 Corinthians 10:12. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. Baptized into Moses. 1 Peter talks about Noah and his family, eight people in all, were saved through water, which is a symbol of baptism. Through the water they were saved. Everybody else is in trouble. There was the baptism of John, which we talked about earlier. John baptized for repentance. There's the baptism of Jesus. These scriptures that I mostly have here that we read were ones that were already part of a larger document on our statements of faith. I guess I should have picked out like the one of actually Jesus being baptized, because that's one baptism. He was baptized so that kind of be an example to us, right? So that's another one. That's Moses, Noah, John, Jesus himself, and John the Baptist refers baptism with fire. That's another baptism. And baptism with fire? Fire and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also talked about in his life, I have a baptism that I have to do and that it's for me. And oh, we'll do it too. He said, it's going to be rough. You're right, though. You will be baptized, meaning the death, burial, and resurrection, the path to the cross, the suffering that he was to endure to pay for the sins of the world. That was also referred to as a baptism. And then finally, we who believe, those in Scripture who repented and received Christ, they were baptized as well. So a whole bunch of different baptisms, you know. But the one that counts, which one counts? If you're going to say, well, yeah, I could see all those, which one really counts? For me, it's the one that was for me receiving Christ as Savior, acknowledging, participating, giving in to God and saying, yes, I want to do this. Yes, you saved me. I want to obey and respond. That's the real baptism for me. For me, that's the one that counts. As I was a baby, that's okay to help me be raised in the church and all those sorts of things. But the one that I took active part in was me receiving Christ as Savior and then responding. So we've got a, I'm excited, and I hope Roger is. I had a couple weeks ago, last time I talked, Roger Rooley came up to me. He said, I want to talk to you about baptism. So we did, right, Roger? I called and talked on the phone, and Roger said, I want to be baptized. I've been to lots of churches in my whole life, all those sorts of things, but I want to get baptized. And I tell me your faith story, and he told me his faith story and stuff. So, Roger, this afternoon, we're going to go, if we don't get sprinkled on first, we're going to dunk. We're going to go up to the Cross Village Beach, where the boat dock is, and we're going to baptize Roger. What I read in Scripture, and I see this idea of baptism, is so spontaneous. You know, in the past at this church, we had, you have to take a class on baptism. Likewise with membership. You got to take a class. It's going to take you 3, 4, 6 weeks, and then we'll see if you're worthy enough. We kind of blew it out of proportion, made it very man-centered, I think. And we've kind of come back to simplicity, like that eunuch in the chariot. Hey, there's a body of water. I get this message. I do believe in Jesus. Let's get in the water. You know, like it says, why can't we be baptized right now? So I want to open an invitation. If you want to get baptized today, you're invited. You're invited. I'll have to ask you, tell me your faith story. So I'm making sure that you do believe in Christ. You've received him as Savior. But if you receive Christ as Savior, this isn't like membership. You don't say, I commit to this body here at Stutzmanville. No. If I'm committed to Jesus Christ and I want to obey him, let's get in the water. Let's get in the water. I'm shooting for noon. Give people enough time to leave church, go get a change of clothes, get your bathing suit on. Or when I watched my grandson get baptized with a different church, the guy put on waders. Hey, the pastor did. I won't have waders. Keith and I think are going to be doing the... We'll see how long we hold Roger under there. You know? No. And you know, but in modes of baptism, you know, there was common, you know, the little babies, you tend to sprinkle them because they're little. Or if you're not of real good health and you don't want to get dunked in the water, you got poured. That was cool. Sometimes when they do pouring, which I wasn't very aware of, I'm kind of ignorant of it, they would pour like 3 pourings for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some people, when they get baptized with immersion, they do it, dunk him 3 times. When we did Ben, I didn't get his face all the way under the water. When he came back, he said, do me again. So, okay. Down we went. We usually dunk once, but the picture is right if you go all the way under. But anyway, that's the invitation. And if you're out there and you're saying, boy, this kind of exciting. It sounds good to me, but what do you mean by receiving Christ? What do you mean be a believer? What does that mean? Well, if you're wondering, it's pretty simple. Jesus came to be that sacrifice we need. You know, we're here, we're living our lives. We think, oh, I'm pretty good old Joe, I'm a pretty good guy, but no, I'm not really. If I look close enough, I blow it all the time. Don't you? I sin, and to be close to God, I can't have any sin. And how do I get from over here to over there? And that's where Jesus came in. Jesus took that penalty. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Didn't earn it. It's not my doing. I just say, oh, thank God I could do this. You did it for me. If you want to receive Christ as Savior, if you want to receive him today and get baptized today, hallelujah, we'll help you do that. You don't need me to say a prayer to God and to say, Jesus, I recognize you are a sacrifice, my only sacrifice that really counts for sin. I receive it. I want to be saved. You can do that all by yourself. If you're listening online, you can do it in your closet, in your bathroom, anywhere you want to do it. But if you want help, if you want someone to pray that with you, I would love to. Keith would love to. Deacons would love to. Talk to us. It's that simple. And if you want to become a member, we'll do a interrogation. No, we won't. We'll have a conversation. Tell us your faith story. Ask us your questions about our statements of faith. Let's make sure we can clarify and get your answers. And then if you want to become a member, join with us here at this body, share your gifts and talents and resources. Hey, we'll give you a certificate. Well, they're just signing it up front. We'll pray with you and hug you. So anyway, let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers, but I mostly thank you for you. You're so good to us. I know all too well how much I don't deserve you, and yet you use me, you use us, you speak to us, you help expand the body of Christ through us. What a cool thing. I'm just so thankful. And Lord, if there's somebody out there who says, I want to do that, I want to count me in, I want to get baptized, I want to become a Christian, thank you for your Spirit who accomplishes that speaking to us with a still small voice. Thank you for that. Help people to have the courage to respond when you're calling them. Guide us this afternoon as we go and baptize Roger and hopefully some others. That would really be cool. And we commit the rest of this day now to you in Jesus' name. Amen.